Blog Talk Radio
presents Bones Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I thank you so much for hanging out with us. We've got a great guest tonight. I cannot wait to talk to her. We were talking a little bit before we got on, and I'm full of, oh, my goodness, she's gonna say, who the hell is this girl? Anyway, thank you so much real quick to our guest we had on last night, Julie Palmieri, because Michelle Palmieri is coming on. She was on last night, Roy Rogers' granddaughter, and she's got a book out, Your Heroes, My Grandparents. I'm sorry, I'm tongue-tied tonight because I can't wait to speak to our guests. So without further ado, we've got with us tonight, actually, officially, the first female rock and roll roadie in the 70s, no less. So I cannot wait to talk to her. We've got with us Tana Douglas, and she's got a new book out called Loud. Welcome her to the show, everybody. Tana, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Joanne. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, listen, as we were saying before we got on the air, I'm just so interested in what everything you've been through. You started this at the age of 15, and you just had a love for music and wanted to be a part of it, is what I'm gathering.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there was a lot of different elements that played into that. You know, I mean, I had a pretty dysfunctional childhood and dysfunctional, you know, parent and, you know, various other things going on. So I never really had a home life. So, you know, I was actually looking for a family is what I was looking for. I was looking for a family unit, and of all the places to find it, I find it with this, you know, rough and ready bunch that just, you know, get in trucks, drive around the world in the middle of the night and turn up in the next town and throw a bunch of things together and put on a great show. So, and they accepted me, and, you know, it never stopped from there.
Right. And they are like a family. They are. They consider themselves family. They do. All the road crew, you know. So you did find the right family for you. So that's great. Now, I mean, you started at 15, so it's like almost like running away and joining the circus to some degree, which you say in your book, and it's so apropos. I believe it is to me.
Yeah, I mean, it totally is. And could you do that now? No, you couldn't. You know, I mean, you know. You couldn't take a 15-year-old over state lines. You couldn't.
Right.
You couldn't take them to a different country. You know, I mean, it was all of that was going on, and it was no one seemed to bat an eyelid. So, you know, it was a whole different time. You know, it's a whole different time, and I'm glad it was. You know, I wouldn't have, because, you know, if I'd had to wait 3 years until I was allowed to do it, who knows what would have happened in that 3 years.
Yeah. Well, was there any resistance at all? I mean, being a female and only female amongst all these guys? I mean, was there any, you know, because it's the 70s.
Of course there was. You know, everyone was very macho and, you know, a lot of testosterone flying around, you know. But, you know, you learn to pick your fights, and you learn to just, you know, I mean, I just turned up and I was just so happy to be there. But, you know, I think I was a bit like, you know, this little stray kitten that, you know, you put a saucer of milk down for once and then it never goes away, and it's like, oh God, what are we going to do with it now?
<You know? laughs> and I guess
sort of,
and
like,
I guess,
oh.
Yeah, and I guess pay wasn't a factor because you really were, like, enjoying it. You didn't care what the pay was at the time.
You know, I mean, it's funny, actually. There's a lot of, you know, in my early career, there's a lot of times where I really have no idea what I got paid. I know I must have been getting paid something, and I was getting paid something.
Right.
But you know, like early days with AC/DC, the only reason why I remember how much I got paid then is because it's been catalogued so many times because the crew got the same as the band each week, you know, because the band was paying off a bunch of debts. And so the deal was we'll put you all in a house together to keep the overheads low, and then we'll just pay you, you know, $50 a week and until the band debts are paid off, and then we'll put everyone on proper salaries and all that sort of stuff, you know. So,
now, hello.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you went in and out for a moment. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's,
well, you know
that's
you always had a home and you always were around people. And like you said, it was all paid for. So, you know, and just seeing the show, being part of the show, meeting all these great artists that you worked with. I mean, like you said, AC/DC, the Police, Ozzy, The Who. The Who requests you specifically for a tour, didn't they?
Saying you always had a home. I mean, when I'd moved to London, I mean, I was pretty much living on the streets when I first moved to London because I had no money, no job, no nothing. And then once I started working, I was working so much that I didn't have a home because I was always on tour. So I actually went for years without having a home of any sort, you know.
But it kept you off the streets. You had somewhere to sleep being with the bands and, you know, being the roadie. That's what I meant. That was the type of home I meant. I didn't mean a real actual home, you know. You found the home that you didn't have at home at the time, you know. But,
exactly, the family unit, more like a family unit than a home.
Yeah. So, well, let's ask about this. Tell us about the sex and drugs that went on with you guys, or you didn't partake, or did you a little bit?
You know, I was always a little sort of backward in coming forward as far as the whole sex thing. I didn't want to get the people to get the impression that I was there just to sleep with band members or whatever. So I was kind of, you know, very standoffish with all that side of it. I mean, were there drugs? There were tons of drugs everywhere. I mean, the 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't care what people say. There's still tons of drugs everywhere. They just lie about it now. Back then, no one lied about it. They're all just like, yeah, we do all that.
Right,
Now they just pretend they don't. They still all go into rehab, and they still all OD, and they still all die. But they deny doing drugs. So I'm not quite sure how that story flies, but it seems to.
Exactly. Now, I lost my train. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I hate when this happens. It happens all the time because we're having such a great conversation. I want to ask you 50 million things. So when obviously you had no experience. You were basically training on the job, right? I mean, you knew nothing.
Well, that's how everyone did it back then. You know, I mean, if you could lift a big speaker cabinet, you could stay awake for 24 hours. You were quite pleasant to be around. You know, helped if you could roll a joint or something. You know, all those things came into play. You know? Everyone just learned as they went. You know, I mean, now there's colleges that kids go to and stuff. You know, which is a bit of a catch-22. I mean, yes, they learn a lot of stuff there, but they still need to get out there and they need to be mentored by people who have been doing it for decades. Because every venue is different, every show is different. You can't learn it from a book. You've got to get out there and roll up your sleeves and get in the thick of it, you know?
Yep, you got to get dirty.
You know, so, you know, is it better now there's colleges? I don't know, you know, possibly for some, you know, but the way I learned, I mean, I was taught by the best, you know, no matter which country I was in. I was lucky to land, well, lucky or fortunate, I'd say fortunate more than luck, to be taken on by people who were really, you know, the best of their class, you know, and because I was willing to learn and I was willing to pass on that knowledge and teach other people, you know, and that's what it's all about.
Right. And so when did you started working with lights as well. So when did you like say, I could parlay this into, you know, another part of my career and make a business of this?
Well, you know what that was about? It was like originally I started doing backline, which is setting up the drums and the guitars and doing all that sort of stuff. And yeah. then, you know, after I'd been with AC/DC for, you know, several months, they needed a front of house sound person. So they asked me, they told me I was it because I knew them. I knew what they wanted. So it was easier for me to learn how to do that than for them to train someone as to what they wanted. You know, someone who knew what they were doing, supposedly, but didn't know them. So, you know, that happened.
Right.
And then, you know, when I left AC/DC and I was, you know, before I moved to Europe, it was like, you know, I need to go somewhere where someone can teach me stuff, you know. And that's when I first started these mentorships with people. And it was like, you know, there was a major promoter that was looking for a crew, you know, and they needed sound people and lighting people. Well,
yeah.
you know, there was a country full of great sound people because everyone had been doing sound a lot longer, but lighting was new, you know. So that kind of leveled the playing field in my mind. It was like,
right.
you know what? This makes it open, fair game for everyone. You know what I mean? Because
right.
no one knows what the hell they're doing. We just know enough not to get electrocuted. So
right. Keep plugging it until it works. That's all. Keep plugging it until it works.
Well, a little bit more technical than that, but you know, it was a more level playing field. So I took that job, and then that did turn into, you know, a multiple decade career. You know, and
right.
and that's where I spent. Most of, and you know, several countries later, I was still doing lighting. You know, I went to Europe and I based in London, then touring through Europe constantly. Got transferred to the States here, where I am right now still.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so lighting was obviously, you know, the one that gelled with me, so to speak. You know,
right.
And then after I'd done lighting for a long time, I decided that. I wanted to change again, and I started doing logistics, which is you're responsible for getting all the equipment around the world, you know. So when someone's in New York on Friday and they're going to be in London the following Tuesday, how does that happen with all their equipment? Well, that's what a person like me does, you know.
Wow.
So we deal with all the customs, we deal with all the logistics of flights or, you know, if there's time, ocean containers or, you know, charter planes if we have
yeah,
to,
wherever
otherwise
it's going.
On commercial
yeah.
flights, whatever it yeah. takes, you know. So,
right.
But it has to be there because there's a show booked and there's, you know, 50,000 people who have got tickets in their hand going, great, can't wait till tomorrow to see
right.
the show, you know.
Right. Well,
so,
when it
you know,
when it absolutely has to be there overnight, call Tana.
Absolutely. Forget FedEx. Call me.
Exactly. Now, are you're still in the industry doing that type of work, the logistics?
Yeah, you know, I've taken a break. You know, with COVID, I stepped way back, and before that, I was writing the book. So, you know,
yeah.
right now, I'm working on a second book, and you know, just sort of. I've moved back to the beach, and I'm just really enjoying summer at the beach. You know, that's my
yeah.
plan right now. You know, we'll see. You know, to me, it's a young person's game, and it really should be. You know, it really should be because it's very long hours. It's you know, very few days off, a lot of, you know, wear and tear on your body over the decades. You know, it really does.
Yeah.
But, you know, if, you know, something comes along that I haven't done yet and it's something new and it's a challenge, I'll always take that up. But do I want to go out, you know, do I want to go out and do lighting? No, I don't want to go out and do lighting. Will I do logistics stuff again? Yeah, you know, I could do that. But, you know, preferably something I haven't done is something
right.
that would interest me. But it'd have to be something that really interested me and caught my eye, you know. And then
it'd
be like,
right.
you know, I could be all over it. But I'm not going out just for the sake of going out, no.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Pardon me, your phone, we're having I keep hearing, every time you speak, you're crackling. I don't know why. I mean, I could hear you clearly, but it's crackling. I don't know if there's something you could do on your end. I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Well, I've got Bluetooth headset on, so it's not a cable or anything, so I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it sounds like when you're moving or something, like when you, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. We can hear you, though. We can hear you, so I just want, you know.
I'll try and sit still. I do move when I speak, so I will try and sit still.
Do you have any music talent, or no, this is, you just, or...
I would take the fifth on that and say absolutely not.
No, so I'm just wondering
I've never had the desire to be in front of an audience. That's not me. You know, I'm not the performer that gets up there. You know, my hat goes off to people, you know, musicians, you know, artists. It's amazing what they go through every night. I mean, you just have to get up there and turn it on. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, what's going on in your world.
You got to be on.
You know, you've got to be there. You've got to be on, you know, and I don't think I could do that. I really don't. And I don't think I'd want to do that. You know, I mean, it really rings true to me when, you know, especially when people are doing like memorial concerts for people and they get up there, these different artists get up there and they sing these amazing songs and they get together and do these jams. I'd be a mess up there. I'd be crying. I'd be like, you know, whole professionalism would go totally out the window. But these people just, you know, they suck it up and they do it because that's what they do. And, you know, that's never been my goal. My goal is to sit back and look at what I've accomplished that day when the lights go out and you know, the arena lights go out and the stage lights come on and the band hits the stage. That's my moment of success.
Yeah.
That's my moment of calling, you know, not being in front of them, you know. Someone wants me to walk out and say hello to 20,000 people, you know, I'll probably run a mile, you know.
I need a favor. Would you hate me if I called you back and see if we get a better connection? Because you're really, really, when you're speaking, it's bad. I mean, you're the roadie. If you heard it, you're the roadie. If you heard what I'm hearing, you'd be like, yes, do it now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can change
seconds.
Give me
two seconds.
Like.
2 seconds. Hi, honey.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Right.
Hold on.
Bye.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know if you guys are hearing what I'm hearing, but it's, I really want to hear what she has to say, and I know you guys do too. So we'll give her back. No, sounds really bad. It's a bad connection. Wow. I canceled the call. I can't cancel it. Ah, crap. All right. Anyway, we're trying to reach Tana. We're going to try again. It sounds really bad. I don't want to do that. Anyway, I can't hear her. I don't know if you guys are having the same problem, but I'm having trouble hearing her speak because it's crackling. Crackle again. Oh, man. Wow. Do you guys hear that? It's really bad. And now I can't get it to pick up. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, Tana. Oh, we got disconnected. I want to have her call here. Maybe it's me. Try again. All right, guys, I'm sorry about this. Hello? Tana? Hello? Hello? Oh, no. Let me call her on the cell. See what's what here. Let me see something. Do this. We're going to do that. Hello? Hello? Hi, guys. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm back. This is horrible.
Hello?
Hi, I've been trying to reach you. I'm so sorry.
Okay, is that better?
No, I don't know. I was going to ask you if you would want to try and call in.
It's not better?
No, it's not. It sounds horrible. I don't know what everybody else is hearing. If anybody could call in and let us know what you're hearing out there, I'd appreciate it. 646-478-0999. Would you want to call us back and try to see if maybe that's the issue?
Sure.
I don't know if it's on my end. That's the problem. Because I hear it. I hear me clear as day, but you I hear with this crap, you know? So,
I'll call you back.
646-478-0999. All right, folks, you're going to call us back, okay? I don't know. Maybe it's my side. I don't know. let's see what happens. And yeah, I was having a great conversation. I hate this. What is wrong with these? This, I'm going to have to switch platforms. I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't get it. Every time, it's been a lot lately, and I don't get why. So anyway, we're talking to Tana Douglas. She's got a new book out, Loud. It's her life experiences, her memoir of being the first female rock and roll roadie, and started at the age of 15, and just what an amazing, amazing, amazing journey she must have had. And I want to talk about it. Let me try her, because I'm not getting her now. Let's see.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm not able to get the phone at the moment. Please leave your name, phone number, time.
Hold on, folks. Hi, Tana. Did you call 646-478-0999?
I did, and it didn't go through.
Okay.
Do you want me to try it again?
Yeah, there must be something on this end. Try one more time, and then I'll try you back. I'm so sorry. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know if anybody can hear me out there. If you could let me know, I'd appreciate it. 646-478-0999. If you're listening in, give us a shout out and let me know what you're hearing on your side. I don't think she's getting through. She would have called by now. So anyway, I'm going to call her again, and we'll see if we get her back on the.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm not able to get the phone at the moment. Please leave your name, phone number, time you called.
She can't get through. That's the problem. She can't get through. She can't get through.
Hello?
Hi, Tana. We're gonna deal with it, I guess. I don't know what everybody out there is hearing, but what I'm hearing sounds horrible. But anyway, I can't apologize enough. I've been having issues with this platform that I'm on, and we got disconnected last week. I was on a show, and that's why I had Julie Rogers back on last night, because we were in the middle of talking, and the show just went dead. Like, we just got disconnected. I could sure use a technical roadie right now, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wanted to ask you, are you still in touch with any of the folks that you worked with, or no?
Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, we all stay in touch from time to time. You know, it depends what you're doing. You know, I mean, COVID was a bit of a shutdown for everybody. You know, everyone sort of,
yeah,
you know, lost touch over the last 3 years. You know,
right.
It's been a bit, you know, it's been kind of awkward. But, you know, it just depends. You know, you go to shows, you run into people, you see people. I'm not one for calling people every week or every month or, you know, whatever. I just sort of, when I run into people, I run into people, and it's like you've never left, you know? That's kind of
right.
How I like it, you know?
Right. Well, it's funny you mentioned COVID, because I did want to ask you, what do you think they did? I mean, obviously, no one was working at the time. So as a roadie or anybody that you did keep in touch with, what were they doing during that time without working? Any ideas?
It was tough. It was tough. We set up a lot of you know, like non-profit organizations, you know, to provide, you know, like meals. We were providing meals. We were helping with, like, medical assistance. You know, there's a lot of stuff that came out of that, which is really good. Also, like, mental health organizations that people can call into still to this day. They're up and running now, so they're not going to go away, you know, because, you know, it is. You do suffer from insecurity with this job, you know. I mean, it's quite easy for that to happen, because it's either a multitude of work or famine, you know. So, you know, you never know when your next job's coming. You never know, you know, you know how long it's going to last. You know, anything can happen. You can say you've got 2 years' work planned, and then your lead singer steps off the front of the stage and you're screwed, you know. So what are you going to do? All the other tours have already gone out, so you've just lost a year's work, you know. It's as simple as that, you know. It can be quite stressful, you know, doing the job. I mean, physically and mentally, you know, it's quite a demanding profession. So with COVID, you know, I mean, it was not as well planned, but in Australia, for example, different government bodies stepped up and created these funds where they would actually put money into funds to help, you know, crews and musicians who, you know, couldn't work. I'd lost 3 years' work total by the time it was done. You know, so, I mean, it wasn't free money, but it was like it helped get through, you know, the incredibly lean times, you know, plus people got sick, you know. A lot of people left the industry, to be honest, on the crew side, because all of a sudden they found out for the first time in their life that they could be home every night, they could be making a decent living with, you know, medical coverage, insurance, all this sort of stuff, and they wouldn't have to go away for, you know, 12 months of the year, you know. So right. A lot of the older people, you know, the more established, you know, really backbone of the industry, we lost probably at least 40-45% of those people just didn't come back, you know. So it opened up for a lot of young people to sort of step in and step up, but, you know, there's a learning curve there. So, I mean, that's still being dealt with to this day, you know. Hello? Hello? Oh, for God's sake. Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what to do at this point.
Hello? Hey, I don't know what to do. I keep losing you. Hello? This is ridiculous.